Yes, Father, just as we sang, we love you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for dying for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for giving us a new life, a new perspective. We thank you for giving us hope, hope and peace and joy. And Father, this morning, as we open up your word, we are so thankful that your word is alive, as Drew said and prayed here this morning. So it is this word that we are opening, and we are asking that your spirit who lived inside of us, but we believe who is also making your presence here with us through your spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would direct this message to areas of need in our lives, areas maybe of disbelief, areas maybe where we need some encouragement and we need some strength. So, Father, we are reminded that you send your word to heal. And that can be spiritually, that can be emotionally, but that can be also physically. So, Father, even as we hear your word today, we are thinking about that. You send your word to heal us. And we are in constant need of healing as human beings in this world. There is so much that can hurt us. Maybe even today you come here and you feel hurt. Someone hurt you. But God is here to heal you. God is here to bind your wounds. God is here to bring something different that will encourage you, that will strengthen you, that will put you in the place where he wants you. So, Father, we love you, we thank you, and we ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have been on this series in the book of Proverbs called Psalms, Proverbs, and Parables. I hope you are enjoying, you know, believe me or not, we are doing like part 8 already. You know, we started with Psalms 42, then we had House Church, and then Drew preached on the parable of the Good Father, and then he also preached on Proverbs and Providence, two messages on that, and then we share about the parable of the sower. Then we had another House Church, and then Psalm 78, we share Psalm 78. And last week, Drew shared with us on the parable of the bridesmaid, and that was really great. And today, I would like to go back to the book of Proverbs, and you know, a book also known as the Wisdom of Solomon, the King David's son. And I would like to talk a little bit with us about wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Now, the book of Proverbs, it's a great, great book. I remember in the beginning of my walk with Jesus, in developing my relationship with Jesus, my pastor told me, hey, if you want a great book to do a devotional, use the book of Proverbs, because, you know, the book of Proverbs, it's one chapter for each day of the month. Of course, you know, when it's 30 days, you have an extra one to read there, which is chapter 31. And for me, as a young person, the book of Proverbs was very, very good and challenging, and a lot of good instructions. So if you are thinking about, you know, a new devotional book, try Proverbs. Read one Proverbs each day. There is some amazing, amazing wisdom and truth and instructions and guidance in the book of Proverbs. Tim Kelly, who is one of the great preachers, he calls the book of Proverbs a mini guide to life, a mini guide to life. And Proverbs, you know, literally means to be like in Hebrew. So, you know, this book shows what someone who loves God looks like. Someone who loves God looks like the person described in the book of Proverbs, you know, with the attitudes in the heart, in the mind, in the actions in their life. So it is an amazing book. And today we're going to just like do an introduction. Maybe I'll be able to do like part two of this. But the word proverb, you know, naturally speaking, it refers to a short and clever saying that offer wisdom in some way. And as we can see in the book of Proverbs, you know, most of these short like proverbs are found in chapter like 10 to 29. Okay, 10 to 29. Chapters 1 to 9 and chapters 30 to 31 are what they call a more like elaborated, you know, poem about wisdom. Proverbs 1 to 9, and then Proverbs 30, and Proverbs 31, a lot about wisdom. And then in between chapter 10 to 29, you have this short, like, Proverbs that also teach us a lot. But here is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, just for us to introduce this book. It goes like this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. It's to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, what is just, and what is fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. So right from the beginning, so powerful. Hey, if you are a young person in the room here, I'm telling you, you can learn so much in the book of Proverbs. God can use the book of Proverbs in such a challenging and powerful way in your life. I would really recommend it to you, as I was recommended to, like, make this book, you know, a book that you do your devotional daily and read that one chapter. So right from the beginning of this book, a great question to ask, right? It's how did this guy, the author of Proverbs, Solomon, how did he become wise? You know, if you do a Google search about Solomon, it is said to be the wisest man that ever lived after Jesus, of course. But so where did his wisdom came from? You know, maybe it was by him listening to the prophet Nathan. The prophet Nathan spoke in his favor with King David and reminded King David of his promise to put Solomon on the throne. And he was, you know, the next king on the throne after David. But not only he listened, and there's a lot of wisdom that comes with listening, right? And he listened to the prophet Nathan, but he listened to God himself. So God himself appeared to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1, 7 to 12. And this is what God said to Solomon. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. I read that and I thought, like, you know, that genie from the lamp, do you think it came from this here? You know, ask for whatever you wanted from me. Just kidding. Solomon responded, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And God said to Solomon that since he did not ask for wealth, for honor and power, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern his people, over whom God himself made him king. Therefore, God said, wisdom, knowledge will be given to you. I mean, from the beginning, we gotta like this guy because he asked God, in everything that he could ask, he asked God for wisdom. Because we have the New Testament, right? We are reminded, like, you know, we read in the book of James, James 1:5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, just like Solomon did, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What a promise. What a promise. Do you need wisdom? Ask God. And his promise is, he will give it to you. I think sometimes we don't have it because we forget to ask, right? So Solomon asked God for wisdom. And by the way, not only God gave Solomon the wisdom that he was asking, but God gave him also all the wealth that he did not ask. That was like a double blessing for Solomon. He was as rich as it could be. So Solomon's wisdom, it was known to the ancient world. You know, everybody knew about Solomon. And, you know, there was this one person in special that was, you know, wanted to find out more about Solomon's wisdom. And it was a woman, and she was a queen. She was the queen of Sheba. And you can read that whole story in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. She was a ruler in the kingdom of Saba in the southwestern of Arabia. And this queen, she came, you know, the Bible says, from afar off, a remote country. And she came to hear of Solomon's wisdom. And she heard, you know, before coming, she heard of this appealing, like, rumor that sounded to her kind of like unbelievable. And she proceeded to do her own investigation. I need to go by myself. I need to find out by myself. And she went to visit Solomon. And she, you know, brought with her this whole caravan of camels, you know, and they brought gold, they brought jewels, they brought spices, they brought precious stones. And she came, the Bible says, to ask him hard questions. She came to test him. She came so that he could solve, you know, a number of riddles. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 2, it says that Solomon answered all her questions, and nothing was too hard to him to explain to her. He answered all, and nothing seemed to be like hard. It was coming just like this. And the queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, and she was overwhelmed. And this is what she literally said to the king. Verse 5, it says this: the report that I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom, it's absolutely true. But I didn't believe it, what they said, until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half of the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the report that I heard. And then she said, how happy must be your people? How happy must be your officials who continually stand before you to hear your wisdom? And then she said this, like, which makes us think, like, who was that queen? You know, she said, praise be to the Lord your God, who was delighted in you, who placed you in his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God. Because of the love of your God for Israel and his desire to uphold them forever, he has made you king over them to maintain justice and to maintain righteousness. I mean, think about that. This is a person that was not only highly impacted by, you know, what she heard about this king, you know, Solomon, but this was a person that was also highly impacted by the God of Israel, by the God that Solomon served. And it seems to me that she knew him. And not only that, it seems to me that she highly respected, that she believed, yes, he is God. She was highly influenced and blessed by the God of Israel. And then verse 22 of that same chapter, and verse 23, it talks about how King Solomon, he was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of earth. All the kings of earth sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God has put on his heart. Think about that. People came from everywhere to see the special knowledge and wisdom that God put in Solomon's heart. So, you know, today as we think and we ponder about wisdom, right? Wisdom. I mean, what a precious thing. And if we stop to think about, you know, this world of ours, you know, with the people all around us, it is a fact that even though we have this amazing abundance of data, even though we have this amazing abundance of like fast communication, you know, like Queen Sheba, we don't even have to travel in a camel, you know, anymore. You can know things kind of like this. But we do live in a world that falls short of godly, deep wisdom. So a question that we ask this morning, you know, it's where does wisdom come from? Where does knowledge and instructions come from? Where is its source? And this is another conversation that this other character in the Bible called Job. Remember Job? Remember what happened to Job? You know, who was very successful, rich, had everything, big family, right? And lost everything as part of the plan of God, perfect plan of God. Lost everything. And Job started having these conversations with his friends, but also these conversations with God himself. And then in Job 28, we read this. Job 28, verse 12 to 16. But where can wisdom be found? I mean, once again, this is the guy that, because of what happened to him, you know, if it was me, I would be in the pursuit of, like, you know, revenge for what happened to me, right? How can I, you know, even his wife told him, Job, do you know what? Just curse God and die. That's the best plan for our lives. And here we have this guy on the pursuit of something else with everything that happened to him. And he is in conversation. His friends were not helping him. And then he engaged in talking to God, and here we have Job in the pursuit of this thing called wisdom. And he says, where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its values, true, nor it's found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not with me. And the sea says, it's not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighted for its price. And Job continued, and he said, you know, it cannot be valued in gold, precious stones of sapphire, crystal, corals, quartz. You know, the price of wisdom, it's way above rubies. And then verse 20, it says this, from where then does wisdom come from? Joe is asking. Where is the place of understanding? Verse 21, it is hidden from the eyes of all living. But then comes verse 23, and it's beautiful. But God understands its ways, and God knows its place. Verse 27, it says, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared God. Indeed, he searched it out. And then verse 28, it says, and to man he said, behold. And here's that little word again, behold. For what you are about to hear can sound almost unbelievable, but it is absolutely truth, this word, behold. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So if we go back again to Proverbs chapter 1, that opens up for the book of Proverbs, you know, in verse 7, we see like the very heart of the book of Proverbs, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and instructions. But fools will despise it. See, Solomon, he found his wisdom in the fear of the Lord. The Lord was its source. It was from him. It is from him. And Job said, you know, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Folks, in a Sunday morning, this is amazing for us to know. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to have wisdom? Where does it come from? More information and knowledge, you know? No. It comes from the fear of the Lord. And then, you know, all throughout the book of Proverbs, Psalms, in the Bible, we read, you know, for example, Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Psalms 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And because of that, because of the fact that that is absolutely true, you know, Proverbs 3:7-8 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Why? Because that is not really wisdom. And I don't know about you. It is so easy, so easy. I don't care how many years you have with the Lord. It is so easy for us to be wise in our own eyes. But that's not where wisdom is found. It is found in the Lord. It is found in the fear of the Lord. And just like Drew, he read for us this morning, you know, this fear of the Lord, which is wisdom, has a benefit of health to our flesh and strength to our bones. This is quite an amazing prescription. Do you want health for your flesh? Health for your bones? Take in a good dose of fear of the Lord. A good dose of the wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord. So, you know, we all need wisdom, right? And we need wisdom daily. You know, because you are, maybe you are walking with the Lord, you have had your relationship with the Lord for so many years, it's so easy for us to be a little bit proud and think that we know as we ought to, but the fact is that we don't. The fact is that, you know, we should be with our cup empty every single day, asking the Lord, Lord, would you give me wisdom? Here I am, presenting myself to you. In need of you. I fear you. I need direction. I need guidance. I need wisdom. And I'm coming to you because only you can give true wisdom. Joshua, he said in 24:14, he said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods that your fathers have served on the side of the river and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord." Psalms 34:9, it says, "Oh, the fear of the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, because there is no want to those who fear him." The NIV, I like it, it puts this verse like this: "Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing." Have you met with someone that you thought, like, one thing that I really appreciate about this person is that, you know, it's the wisdom that this person has. You know, and it seems like, wow, you know, they don't lack nothing. And it's because they have the Lord. And they have the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord provide for us a portion of everything. Of everything. Think about that. And, you know, sometimes we think about things and we can't help, but we think about material things. But the fear of the Lord, who is wisdom, also give us a provision of everything. And that's why it's so important and it's such a blessing for us as the children of God to be in this constant daily pursuit of wisdom, which is a constant daily pursuit of the fear of the Lord. And what is fear of the Lord? It's that mix of like reverence and honor and respect and awe. It's like it's a tremble as well, you know, in the New Testament. In the Greek, it means this deep awe and reverence that involves submission to his lordship and submission to his commands. Who is the wise? It's the one who is fellowshipping with the Lord, who is reverencing him, who is submitted to him, submitted to his word, submitted to him as his Lord. And for this person, there is a provision daily of everything. Of everything. I love that. The fear of the Lord is produced in our soul by the Holy Spirit through God's word. So the more that you and me, the more that we read God's word and the more that we allowed the Spirit to guide us, the more that we grow in the fear of the Lord, the more that we grow in wisdom as well. And I love that, you know, this definition, it's right from the start, right from the beginning of the book of Proverbs, that true wisdom, it's not an accumulation of years necessarily or information, but it is a surrender daily. It is a fellowship daily with the Lord that give us what we need. Give us wisdom. Job 4:6, it says this: "Is not reverence your confidence?" And the word reverence here, it's the same word for fear of the Lord. "Is not fear of the Lord your confidence? and integrity of your ways your hope. But, you know, a great problem that hinder us from wisdom, it's also, we can see here in the book of Job, Job 15:4, it says this, have you no fear of God? No reference for him? And I have to say that I love the Portuguese version of this Bible verse way more. And it goes like this in the Almeida, Ferreira de Almeida. It's the Portuguese version. I'm not a Portuguese guy in Portugal. Are you turning in vain from the fear of the Lord? Are you turning in vain from the fear of the Lord? Are you diminishing in the devotion that is due to him? And I have to say to myself, God forbid. God forbid, Ray, that, you know, the longer that you are walking with the Lord, that you are taking for granted your need of daily wisdom, your need of daily fear of the Lord, recognizing him, fellowshipping with him, abiding by his word. You know, don't do that. Don't take it for granted. Psalms 36:1, it says this, and we all have been there, and maybe, you know, before having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Psalms 36:1, it says, I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before the eyes. Folks, we are in trouble. When the moment comes where there is no fear of the Lord, and I would hate to say that that doesn't happen to us, I can say for myself, it happens way more than I would like to admit. It really does. And it's in the daily activities of life. The Holy Spirit can reveal, you know, who are we trusting? In which wisdom are we relying? Self? Oh, it's godly wisdom. So to have fear of God in our eyes, it is the biggest thing. It is the most important thing. You know, I'll never forget living life without no fear of God. Living life the best that I knew. I had that chance to do that. God gave me that space. You know, it seems at first a great life. There's no strains, there's no barriers, right? But it's full of regrets. It's full of hurts. But a life lived in the fear of the Lord, with the wisdom that the Lord provides, it's a life that there is no regrets. It's a life that there is protection. There is direction. There is guidance. Proverbs, you know, Psalms 86:11 tells us how different it is now for us as a child of God, as someone that is in a personal relationship with God. Psalms 86:11 says this, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth and unite my heart to fear your name. What a beautiful prayer. God, unite my heart here this day to fear your name. When I go to work, let me fear your name. When I am, you know, in the relationship with the people that come across me, help me to fear your name. When I don't know what to do, help me to fear your name. When I am in life's crossroads, we all go through, Lord, help me to fear your name. When I need direction and I don't know what to do, Lord, help me to fear your name. Help me to fear your name. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and all his children will have a place of refuge. Verse 27, it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. to turn one away from the snare of death. And we have been saved from the snare of death. But daily wisdom provides us escape from what it's not life. Wisdom provides a fountain of life. You know, everybody is searching from the fountain of life so that they can become younger. Well, here it is. In the Lord, there is this fountain. It is the fountain of life. And I'm telling you, when you and me, we tap into this fountain, guess what? You know, our soul becomes like rejuvenated. We become like a different person. You know, it seems that, you know, you can be old, but you look new. What's going on? It's the Lord in you. It is the beautiful thing of the fear of the Lord in your life and in my life. And I'm going to close with 2 Corinthians 5:11. It says this, since then, Paul said, we know what is to fear the Lord. Since then, since we met with Jesus, right? We know what is to fear the Lord. And not only we are enjoying that ourselves, not only we are growing and striving to grow daily in the fear of the Lord, but also we are sharing with other people too. We are persuading other people about God's love, about God's grace, about God's forgiveness, about God's wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord. So, friends, you know, again, this is just like the introduction of the book of Proverbs, right? But, you know, my desire, you know, for my life and for our lives is that, you know, the fear of the Lord, who is the beginning of wisdom, it is the very thing that it's a mark in our lives. Be someone who fear, who reverence, who tremble, who abides by God's word and God's lordship. Be someone who knows, in fact, the fear of the Lord. And that is available to all of us. And with that comes what? It comes wisdom. It comes wisdom. It comes a provision that the Bible says, you know, when you have that, you might lack a few things, but you lack nothing. Even when you lack those things, you lack nothing. And that's a mystery, but that is from God, and that is to us. So here we are in this room, you know, full of like young people, middle-aged people, experienced people, right? And we are all here, you know, in this pursuit of wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord. And let's continue it in this pursuit, because that is what gives us true wisdom in a world that don't know what to do with how much they have been getting at them. We don't need all that. We need the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. We need His commandments. We need His lordship over us. That's what we need. And that brings with itself a provision for life and everything. So, Father, we thank you so much for the book of Proverbs. We thank you so much for the provision of wisdom that we have in you. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from you, the fear of the Lord. And Father, today we want, in this very hour, we want to bow ourselves down before you. We want to confess to you, Lord, please forgive us. Please forgive us for being wise in our own eyes. Lord, help us to be repented every day and to come to you, Lord, in our pursuit of wisdom. Father, thank you for your word again, and thank you for the guidance. Thank you for the encouragement that we have. And if you came here today and you think like, you know what, I do lack wisdom in this area, here we go. Here we go. Fellowship with the Lord. Here we go. Dive into God's word. Invite the Holy Spirit. And He will freely give you wisdom that comes from the right source, God Himself in heaven. He gives it freely to His children. You have a Father that has it all. Keep going to Him. Keep submitting yourself to Him and receive the blessings that He has for you daily. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you, God. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much.